Today, she thought, I will find the energy to do all that I need to do. From upstairs, she heard Tommy's door squeak open. She watched as he padded down the steps while rubbing the sleep from his eyes, his cowlick askew, and dressed in one of the two shirts she'd thrown into his backpack. She wondered how long it would be before the other kids began to make fun of him for wearing the same clothes over and over. From the refrigerator, she retrieved the milk. From the cupboard, she pulled out a box of Cheerios. There was sugar in the cupboard, left by those who'd lived here before, but she didn't trust that it was safe to eat. Who knew what sort of icky critters had decided to breed in there? She poured the Cheerios into a bowl and brought the bowl and spoon to the table. She kept the small bottle of his hair wax on the counter and added a dab to her palms. She smoothed his hair, then kissed him on the cheek. How did you sleep, sweetie? He merely shrugged, but she'd expected that. He was quiet in general, but in the mornings, getting him to speak was sometimes like pulling teeth. She reached for the peanut butter and jelly on the counter and the last two pieces of bread in the loaf. She made a sandwich, wrapped it in cellophane, and placed it into a paper bag, along with the last apple and enough change to allow him to buy milk. She wished she had enough money for Cheetos or granola bars or Nutter Butters or even sliced turkey or ham, but it just wasn't possible. When the lunch was ready, she squeezed the bag into Tommy's backpack, then took a seat at the table, almost aching with love for him. Honey, I asked you a question. He took a bite, and only after swallowing did he answer. Okay. Just okay? When he nodded, she waited. Did you have a bad dream? Only after she'd asked did she realize she could have been speaking about herself. He shook his head. Honey, I'm trying to talk to you. Did something happen last night? It was loud. What do you mean? She asked, trying to keep any concern from her voice. It couldn't have been Gary. There was no way he could have found them yet. There were crickets, like a million of them. I think there were frogs, too. She smiled. We're in the country, so you're probably right. He nodded, took another bite. How do you like the school and your teacher? For the life of her, Beverly couldn't remember the teacher's name. But then again, there wasn't much time left in the school year, and she'd only been at the school long enough to sign him up. So she supposed she could be forgiven for her lapse. Tommy? She's okay, he said with a sigh. Have you made any friends yet? He ate another spoonful of cereal before finally looking up at her. Can we get a dog? He'd asked for a dog before, yet another reminder that there was so much more she wished she could do for him. Gary had never allowed one, but even though that life was behind them now, she knew she couldn't afford to take care of a dog. And who knew when they'd have to run again? We'll see, she hedged. Tommy nodded, knowing exactly what her answer meant. When he was finished with his cereal, Beverly tugged at his shirt, straightening it, then helped him on with his backpack. Still barefoot, she ducked upstairs quickly to her bedroom and put on her shoes before walking with her son toward the stump near the road, where they sat and waited for the school bus. The air was already becoming soupy, and she knew it was going to be another hot one. The bus arrived minutes after they'd taken their seats, and as Beverly watched Tommy silently board the bus, she noticed the heat was already turning the horizon into liquid. There was one woman in line at the checkout, and Beverly could already tell the cashier was the chatty sort. Is there a bulletin board with job listings anywhere, like cleaning or babysitting? There's a board near the exit, but I don't have any idea what's up there, Peg said with a shrug. Peg loaded the items into plastic bags. Did you find everything? Yes, Beverly said. She reached for the first of the bags, looping one of the plastic handles around her arm. Peg glanced up, then seemed to peer even closer.
Excuse me, but don't I know you? You look sort of familiar.
I don't think so, Beverly mumbled. She reached for the other bags and began walking toward the exit, feeling Peg's eyes on her, wondering if Peg had been in the store the last time she'd shopped, feeling a growing sense of dread. Why else would Peg have thought she seemed familiar? What else could it be? Unless... For a moment, she felt almost as though she were about to drop the bags. Questions began to tumble and spin through her mind like clothes in the dryer. What if Peg's husband worked for law enforcement? What if Peg's husband had seen a bulletin about her and brought it home? What if Peg's husband had asked Peg to stay on the lookout? What if... She stopped and closed her eyes, trying to remain steady on her feet, trying to slow her mind. No, she said aloud, opening her eyes. That couldn't have happened. There was no doubt Gary had already instituted a nationwide manhunt, kidnapper on the loose. But would Peg's husband have brought home the report? To have his wife study it so she could watch for random wanted strangers in case they wandered into the store? In a town like this? She wasn't even sure if Peg's husband was in law enforcement. In fact, she wasn't even certain that Peg was married at all. It was just her mind playing tricks again.